tonight, Friday, 76, with sunny conditions. Extended outlook, low 50s on Friday night. Hasn't been that cool in quite a while. Clear skies. Saturday, upper 70s, mostly sunny. And we'll end the weekend on Sunday with upper 70s and mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures in the upper 70s are also expected for next week. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.
Can't hear anything. Wait a minute.
Should you plug it in?
Everything else is working. The volume's there. Hello, good morning. This is Linda Sims here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Support. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement every third Saturday of every month. They have free produce at Logos Christian Ministries. The next one will take place August the 20th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And those of you who faithfully listen to, tune in to A Voice of a People, thank you for your support. And if you're new to my show, thank you. And I pray that you enjoy the show and it will not be your last time listening. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. And this one is titled, To be enthusiastic is to be free. A caged bird has the ability to fly, but is unable to spread its wings and soar. I need to remind myself that being enthusiastic in all situations is like being a free bird reaching great heights. When I experience this inner freedom and appreciate the joy it brings, I will be able to sustain it even when things go wrong. To be enthusiastic is to be free. My guest is chuckling listening to that thought for today, and I will turn my attention to him, Jeff Porter, author.
Good morning.
of expressions of the last days. How are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just excited.
We're excited to have you.
Well, thank you.
We didn't think Jeff was going to make it back to the station, but we prayed and we prayed. He was in the hospital for a month, and I think he had got to the point where he was trying to give up.
Yeah. Well, I'm not exactly sure how it got started, but I was feeling some nausea, and it was really bad. I mean, I really felt terrible. So, and then I started getting shortness of breath. So I went to the emergency room, and the doctor said, "We're going to go ahead and admit you," to make a long story short. And they ran a bunch of tests on me. And the doctor, more or less, what he said was is that I was experiencing a energy crisis inside of me, you know. And so they put me on a regular schedule of eating breakfast, dinner, lunch, whatever, you know, supper, and physical therapy. And for a while, I got worse. And I thought I wasn't going to make it. Thought I was going to croak.
Right.
You know, even though I knew down deep inside of me, this is just another fire that God's putting me through, allowing me to go through to teach us stuff, you know, especially patience. And after I'd been there about 30 days, they were talking about putting me in rehab. But I don't have Medicare yet because the buses didn't pay into Social Security. So they couldn't find a place to put me. So I said, "Okay, Friday, I'm going home." So they said, "Okay." So I came home, and, you know, I've been getting stronger and stronger ever since. When I first went in there, I couldn't even walk.
Right. You're driving.
Yeah. Do you know that one of those times I went home for a little bit and I got stuck in my car, I couldn't get out. And my next door neighbor and a friend of mine managed to pull me out of the car. You know, he says, "You ain't got no business driving if you're that bad off." Well, I needed my problem was mobility, you know. But what happened at the beginning of that thing where they sent me home, and then I was in the bathroom, standing in the doorway, and my legs lost power. It's like they weren't even there, and I collapsed in the bathroom, landed on my right arm, and I laid there for a long time. I couldn't figure out, because I had the air conditioner on full blast, and it blows right into the bathroom, and it was freezing me, so I shut the door. The door went shut, and it wouldn't open. I couldn't reach the knob. So eventually I found a stick or something to stick underneath the crack in the door. Eventually got it open. And for about an hour or so, I crawled into the living room and found my cell phone, called the paramedics. It took a long time, though, to get to where I could reach the cell phone.
Wow, how fortunate.
Yeah.
You were at that time, being in the house alone also, you know, and not having the alert, what they call that, health alert,
yeah,
that you wear around your neck like a necklace.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't had anything like that happen.
Right.
Yet, so I've got a thing similar to that now. But I'm getting my strength back.
Good.
You know.
Good.
Starting to perk up. A little bit. So that was, you know, God putting me through a trial. It's what it is, you know.
How do you think people receive that when you say God putting you through a trial?
Well, you know, Paul said nobody enters into the kingdom of God except through much tribulation, which is trouble. You know, look at him. He goes into a town, they stone him, comes back out. That's really weird. I mean, he comes out of that town and then he gets back up after he's out of that town. He's been stoned. He goes back into town, starts preaching again. That's more than I could handle, I'm sure. Unless, yes. You know, so unless God strengthens you.
because people say, well, God, he's a God of love, so, you know, he doesn't afflict us with different things, or people just have that mindset, you know. And
well, that's the kind of mindset our world is in right now. Nothing negative. Don't talk into that negative stuff, but negative is part of our world.
Yes.
You know, so God's going to bring judgment on this world. What do you think is positive about that?
Yeah, one day, you know, yeah. One day. And I think I did share with our new listening audience, thank you for listening and tuning in, and I welcome you to my show once again, A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. And my guest today, Jeff Porter, who is an author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days. He's also known here on WWGH as the Doomsday Prophet.
Yeah.
Because he's always talking about the end, or the new beginning that's supposed to happen. We'll just call it that, but end of this era and the new era that's coming. And Jeff also has had many life experiences. He was also atheist at one time.
Yeah.
He's been in the service and back out again, and he's been through much. He's had much experience, I'll put it like that, and he's been through a lot of things, and we're fortunate to have him, I think, as a guest on the
show.
Well,
thank you.
You're so welcome, and thank you. Thank you.
Well, the other day I was watching, and I happened to come across Jim Baker.
Yeah, you know? I listen to him sometimes.
And he was talking about that. That's all he talks about, the last days.
Yes.
Well, he used to be one of those positive, you know, name it and claim it type of preachers,
right.
You know. But anyways, he was talking at one segment about how Biden has shut off the oil flow in America, and it's going to be affecting our power as far as electricity is concerned. Well, he said, and we're going to start experiencing brownouts and blackouts and stuff like that because they're trying to save money on the power going out. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird, you know, but I've seen it happen before because I was walking through my living room a couple of weeks ago or so, and the electricity went off. And, I mean, that room was black. It was totally no light anywhere, you know. And I just happened to remember that my flashlight was on this light stand right beside me. And that kind of saved me. But I woke up in the middle of about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, about 2 days ago, yesterday morning or day before, and I thought it was awfully quiet in the house, you know, more quiet than usual. Then I heard the hail, you know, and you hear it bouncing off the air conditioner, going bing, bong, bing, bing, bong, bong, bong. Then all of a sudden it stopped. And then the air conditioner came on, and the radio, I sleep with the radio on, and it came on. I thought, oh, wow, electricity's been off.
Wow.
And I've got these two clocks that, if electricity goes off, they start flashing because it throws them off, you know.
Right, right.
So I thought God was showing me that this blackout thing is for real, you know.
We have been experiencing more of that than usual, I think.
Yeah.
Lately, I don't know why either, you know, storms and, that one windstorm, they claim it was a wind, and I thought it was a tail of a tornado that went through Marion.
When was this?
Down trees. Oh, it had to be a couple months ago.
Hmm.
This year, this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it knocked down that pavilion at Marion General Hospital.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Just caved in the roof and a lot of houses, and, oh, yeah, it was pretty bad. Trees were all over the street.
Hmm.
I think they said we had, 75 to 80 miles an hour winds, and people were out of power for, I think, probably 2 or 3 days, if not longer than
that. Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, sure enough. Sure did. And you might have been in the hospital during that time.
Yeah, probably was.
Probably. Probably so.
But I remember seeing a couple of storms. I was watching a couple of storms.
Yeah, and then intermittently people were, you know, experiencing a lack of power, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that. So I do see that going on, and I know that there are different reasons for that. I just don't see what the oil wells has to do with that.
Well,
maybe I'm missing something.
Electric generators still run on gasoline.
Oh.
So if they don't have the oil flow, they can't make the gasoline, and so goes the story. You know.
What you use gasoline for, to operate other types of machinery.
Right. We've got plenty of oil, since Biden shut off the pumps.
Well, we had our own oil anyway, right?
You got to pump it out. And he shut off the stations because he says it's bad for the environment.
Yeah, that was another...
it's kind of lost popularity now.
Yeah. Well...
The economic experts say that we might have to go through some... We might have to experience some cold this winter.
What do they mean by that? I experienced cold last winter. And the winter before that, right? And the one before that. What do they mean by that experience?
Man, we might have to turn down our furnaces because not enough gasoline to run the generators.
Oh, you think that's fear baiting people, making them think that?
I don't know.
All these terrible things are going on.
I don't know.
No heat and...
We might not have enough heat this winter.
What winter was that? Some years back we had to do that. What was that? You remember? Years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
What was that happened?
Oh, we were having kind of an energy crisis because we were depending too much on oil from Egypt and stuff. And the United States eventually turned that around, started building their own pumping stations and wells and stuff, and so we no longer depended on them. But they used to shut us off just for fun.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
Or sometimes they'd raise the price and then the United States would refuse to pay it. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have enough gasoline to run the generators.
Well, it seems that United States is very resourceful. I mean, because we do have our own resources. So, well, praise God for that.
It had to do with agreements and stuff like that,
you
know.
Yeah, that political stuff.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. And I think that's what some of this fear baiting is about. It's just political. What they call it?
Yeah.
Garbage. I know they have another word for it, you know.
What are you talking about?
The political, democratic, and...
Brouhaha.
Yeah. Republican, you know. Gaining points, losing points, you know.
Some politician in Alaska said he quit politics because of the brouhaha.
Oh, that's a new one, brouhaha.
Yeah, and I asked about that. What is a brouhaha? It's political crap, junk.
Yeah.
You know, like paid in place in the political
soap
arena.
Soap opera, get out of the violin, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, they tell their sob stories. And who's going to fail and who's going to fall dead. And like Biden, you know, they've already taken him off the pedestal and buried him almost.
Yeah.
Because of his health.
Well, he did that to himself.
Well,
his political self.
Oh, yeah. But they're trying to say he's not able because of his physical.
Well, he is having problems.
Well, who's not at that age?
Yeah. That's true.
Please let me know who they are, right? And maybe we can take some of that stuff they're taking or whatever it is to keep them vital and vital.
Well, I don't know. There was some lady on, I was listening to radio news this morning, and she said he'd be back on his feet in another week or so.
Right. Oh, yeah. God is good. Look at Jeff. Testimony. Living testimony.
I'm
setting before us.
I'm getting my strength back. Walking pretty good. I couldn't even walk at all when I first started. I had to crawl.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
If I got off, I could not get back up on the furniture. You know, I had to call the paramedics 3 or 4 times because of that. But, and they got really mad too. I don't care. I'm not going to sit there and starve to death and sit on the floor. You know.
Jeff became grumpy, and when he started to become grumpy, they knew he was well, right? They knew he was well. Well, praise God. We just happy to see you and have you back on this radio.
I am feeling much better.
I'm thankful for that. But we are talking to a new audience, and we want you to start how you became an atheist.
Oh, well, I became an atheist because, and I'm glad I did, really, because it made me inquire. I'm a person that does a lot of inquiring. And I said, you know, you're going to have to prove God to me. I don't see God anywhere. And so I had an uncle who was atheist, agnostic atheist. Might as well say he was an atheist. And he would talk about scientific issues or logic issues that contradict the presence of God or the possibility of God's existence. And I started listening to him. My mom was really upset. But I started believing in evolution and believing that that God is a concept. And people were believing in God and religion because it gave them comfort from death. Mostly, you know. And so there, after a while, though, well, I first started coming out of atheism when I went to OSU, take a few courses.
But did it make you feel better that you had come to the realization that God wasn't real? And he was just...
Well, it helps you for a while with the sin thing. You know, I can do all this weird sin stuff and it doesn't bother me.
You just thought it was just an idea in other people's minds. He really didn't exist.
Right.
But they just
thought. He gets rid of the day of judgment. So you don't have to worry about sin.
But that's only if you believe and receive him. Did you understand that at the time you were an atheist? Because if you don't believe, it still doesn't take away the fear of...
Oh, well, it did for me. I didn't even worry about God after a while, you know. In fact, I didn't even really have that many conversations about the issue because I just didn't care anymore, you know. But I went to OSU, started taking some courses, and one of them was in biology. I always liked biology.
Okay.
And Walter Cronkite was narrating this documentary about the human brain, and they had this what would you call it, a television camera kind of thing. It's almost like optic fiber, and it went all through the body, and they actually went into the brain and looked around.
Wow.
With this thing, and all you saw was blood vessels, stuff like that. And I said, well, that's not human consciousness. It's just blood running around in a vessel. Mm-hmm. I said, so what is consciousness? You know, where does it come from? Obviously, you couldn't see it.
Right.
So that bothered me. I went home and I said, so where's the consciousness we have? I mean, you can't chalk it up to all that just blood running around in this compartment and that compartment and stuff, you know. This one's supposed to contain cognitive powers and all that. So that started me on the road of thinking again, you know. But eventually, I kept running it, so I started thinking about it again. And I thought, there are so many things that are unexplained in our world. I mean, you can't really explain the complication of living things. You know, how does a spider know how to make a web? And the birth of things, mm-hmm. you know, things being born into the world, how can that
regenerated be regenerated within themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, evolution's supposed to go the easiest way with stuff. Why would it choose sex to make more reproduction when it's a very complex system? You know, and I don't think that evolution, they talk about evolution like it's a living thing, but it's just a random choosing of some kind of, what do I want to say? It's just supposed to take weird stuff, you know, mutations and stuff, and make that into whatever it turns into. But the thing is, what any biologist will tell you, or even an evolutionary scientist will tell you, is that a mutation is not a good thing. Mutations are bad.
They are.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, you get a lamb, a cow with two heads and stuff like that. You know, a lamb that likes to kill people or something, you know.
So mutation comes to a point where you really can't control.
No, exactly. So, and nothing would be there to control anything if you're talking about evolution, because there's nothing to put boundaries around it. So
that's how we come up with the sci-fi things, getting all out of control.
Yeah.
And the famous Frankenstein, remember that?
Yeah.
They made the Frankenstein out of
bringing back from death.
Bodies, yeah. Yeah, but there came a point they couldn't control Frankenstein anymore, right?
Well, they couldn't control, the people were scared of him. That's what the problem was. He wasn't really that hostile. He looked freaky, but he wasn't really killing people. But the people of the town came after him with torches and stuff and killed him. But,
one of my favorite old movies.
Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah.
Frankenstein?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's probably how it would go if you brought somebody back from the dead. You ever see a movie called Pet Sematary?
No, I was a little far out.
Well, there was a cemetery. There is such a thing as pet cemeteries where you can have you can bury your dog or your cat in there, you know. Only thing is, there was some cemetery where if you buried your dog or your cat there, they'd come back to life.
Mm.
Only they were very hostile.
Transformed.
Yeah.
Something else. Okay. Okay. No, I never watched it. I think it was. It didn't appeal to me at that time. It doesn't now either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't very nice.
Right. But
so we get these ideas from these horror movies and stuff, but I think we ought to be careful about what we watch, you know. Now, I'm not one of these people that says all movies are
bad.
Evil and right. bad and everything, you know. I think Jimmy Swaggart's the only person I've heard that actually said that all movies are, you know, Hollywood crap, you know. But anyways, I began to realize that, and evolution's a big part of being an atheist. And some of the hardcore atheists have said, well, let me put it this way. One of the problems with the big problem with evolution is the in between forms that are supposed to be there. They have to be there, you know. Like when Darwin talking about the Galapagos Islands, and there's all these different species there. Problem is, if you were to really make evolution work, the in-between forms would have, the world would have to produce billions times billions times billions of these in-between forms, mm-hmm. you know, for them to come about. And they're not there. the in-between forms are not there at all.
Right.
So evolution's just not going to work, you know. So eventually, I ran into a guy that I knew in the Army, and he, that's a long story, but he had become a Christian. And he was talking to me about Christ stuff, and I said, a friend of mine, we used to go to Bucyrus all the time and get drunk and come back, went to their dance studios and stuff, you know, and we're on our way back, and he punched that accelerator, and we went off on the berm off the road and then shot across straight across the road and hit a telephone pole and a sign and flipped over. And but on the way, I could feel the presence of Christ in that car very strong. He said, everything's going to be all right. So
even though you didn't believe, you were between belief and unbelief. Because you began to question evolution and Darwin's thinking, you know. I think it was a concept with him, something that he really didn't even believe himself.
But other people,
they picked it up and ran with it. Isn't that strange?
I think he was making a theory. Yeah. I don't think he necessarily wanted the whole world to get a hold of it. But that, you know, the world, the unbelieving world's always looking for some way out from God. Because they don't have to feel guilty about anything, you know.
Right.
So, I felt the presence of Christ in the car, and then nothing happened to us. The car got all crunched up and everything, but we were okay. So,
a small voice came to you in the midst of an accident.
Yeah.
Car flipped.
Well, on our way back to Marion, when we left Bucyrus, I felt the presence of Christ, like, in the back seat, like he was really there.
Right.
You know? So it just kept getting, his presence just kept getting stronger and stronger.
Did you realize that's what it was?
Yeah.
That feeling you had?
Yeah. But, and that really had a major impact on me, you know. I mean, to me it was totally real.
Okay.
It wouldn't be so real to somebody else that you're just telling it to.
Right.
But I felt his true presence back there. And it was wonderful.
Boy. Now, was this before or after you went into service?
I had just got out.
Just got out
of the Army. Yeah. So, this friend that I knew from Oklahoma came to visit me, and I told him about the car accident, told him about how I was having misgivings about evolution and other atheistic theories and stuff, and I said, I don't know if I could really sustain this idea that there's no God because there's nothing to back it up, you know. And he started talking to me about Christ, and finally I said, well, I'm not ready for that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, religion is mostly for old ladies that have nothing better to do on Sunday.
Oh, you thought so, right?
Yeah. And he went up to get some refills on our coffee. Cause he was a coffee weirdo like I was. And while he was up there, I felt the presence of Christ again, just like I did in the car. Mm-hmm. And I felt Jesus saying to me, Jeff, I've answered an awful lot of your questions, most of your questions. Why don't you just let me in? So I did.
Wow.
I let him in, and he came in, and I was born again before Mike came back with our coffee. So I've been a Christian ever since. May of 1978.
Some testimony.
Yeah.
Coming from an atheist and to totally.
It was a transition. It took a while.
I'm sure.
You know.
So how old were you when you went into service?
17.
We'll talk about that next hour.
Okay.
He's in the service. We have another hour to do, but I want to finish on where you are now as far as you received Christ. Now, you became born again. What was that like? Because a lot of people don't understand when you say you have to be born again. Because like Nicodemus asked Christ himself, what does that mean? I have to go back into
my mother's womb?
My mother's womb again? Is that even possible? What do you mean being born again?
Yeah, and Jesus was talking about something spiritual. You know, he who loses his life for me shall find it. You know, a lot of people think they've found their life. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to college, they get a degree in engineering or something, make lots of money, and have missed it. They've missed the true meaning of life, and that is to find Christ. That's how God has set this world up, so that you'll follow certain steps and find Jesus in the midst of it.
Right.
And they totally miss him. And that applies to whatever you're called to. Also, you know, you say that, well, I've found my life, and so you start, you know, a woman might get married and have a bunch of babies, and they think that's what life is all about. That's only part of what it's about. Mm-hmm. The spiritual part is the most important, you know. And so you can't just believe. So a lot of people think that you could just believe in God, believe in Jesus, and you're fine. You'll go to heaven. You have to dedicate your life and your heart to him. He has to come into your heart and your life and change you so that you have a different point of view than you did before.
I want to say, insert this, because in the scriptures, God says, even the demons believe in me, but they tremble.
Yeah, tremble and believe.
And they fear me and they tremble. And they say it's like stretching your skin backwards. That's what one interpretation of it is, you know. Could you imagine your skin being peeled back?
Oh, please.
Your body?
Ugh.
In other words, that's how afraid of Christ demons are. You know, we take it lightly.
Yeah.
You know, we take that lightly, but so it is more than just believing.
You must, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So Jesus needs to come into your heart, into your life, and live inside there, and then you begin to obey him rather than what the world has to say. And it's a struggle, though. Mm-hmm. Sin is always trying to come back. The world is always trying to come back. We have to fight it off.
Right.
But being born again is like, you know, you're born into the world of the water and of, you know, of your mother. And then you need to be born again of the Spirit. So that your spirit is renewed in Christ.
Right.
It's really hard to explain with words sometimes, because it's really beyond words.
Oh, yeah, definitely beyond words. Even faith is beyond words, because you're believing in the unseen. You know, we believe in a God we can't see, we can't touch, you know, but he sees us and he touches us. He has a way of touching us. Like you said, his presence was in the car, you know, and it stayed and lingered with you, you know. Even after that, you could feel that, you know.
Yeah.
Just like the wind. We could feel the wind, but we don't know where it comes from or where it goes.
I don't know how many times I've like, gone to work or gone somewhere, and I just feel down and weird and stuff, and, you know, gray and cloudy, big cloud heading over my head. And God will just come in. You feel his presence in your heart and in your life and everything. He lifts you up out of that.
Yes, yes.
And you feel like he's making the sun shine through a cloudy day.
Wow.
I've had him do that so many times.
That's beautiful.
You know, I remember sitting there watching TV and I thought, oh man, this is the end of me. I've never been so sick in my life. And I just felt his presence come in and go, you're going to be all right. You're not going to die. You're going to be okay. You know?
What a word, what a word.
I
shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
That's right.
For he has chastened me sore, but he has not turned me over to death.
That's
he
right.
He is my God, and I shall praise him.
Praise God.
He's my God, and I shall exalt him. That is in Psalms 118. That brought me through lung cancer, I'm telling you.
Did it really? I didn't know you had lung cancer.
Yes, in 2001, absolutely. Yes, I did. But that verse and many others brought me through.
Well, you never told us about that.
I think I have. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that next hour.
I remember listening to a Christian radio, and this guy came on, and he said he was working at a factory. Uh-huh. And we still got 5 minutes, don't we? Mm-hmm. Okay. And one day, he felt the Lord come along and speak to him very clearly, I want you to quit your job. And he goes, what? I mean, he was doing okay, you know.
Right.
So he let that stay where it was for a while, and then he went home, and he told his wife, he said, Martha, I got something to tell you. She goes, the Lord wants you to quit your job. He said, that's right. So eventually he did.
Okay.
And as soon as he quit his job, he got cancer.
Oh, my.
So he had to battle off some cancer first. He said he went through some terrible trials. But eventually he became a preacher like God wanted him to. God wanted him to preach, to be a pastor.
Mm.
And he started his own church and still going.
Right.
Right now.
Right. So certain people have, we all have a call on our life, and it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. And people say, well, you can't talk to God, and God can't talk to you. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's because we're taught, you know, in school and other places, you know, the skeptics think they've got it all together, you know. And they can say that God doesn't speak to us or God doesn't show us anything. Well, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. What do you mean God can't talk to you? He can do anything he wants, you know?
Yes.
I mean, he made this earth and he made that big bad universe out there. I was telling somebody about this this big star they found in our galaxy, and it's the biggest star they've ever found, and it is at least 100 times bigger than our sun, and you know how big our sun is.
Right.
And it is gigantic, and they call it Betelgeuse. I saw that on Nova the other day, you know, and I said, God created that thing. You know, just think if that turned into a black hole.
Mm.
Man, it'd suck in half the galaxy, you know.
There's many of them out there in space, black holes, they say.
Yeah. So they're a mystery.
A lot of people say they're gods out there, or entities, and stars, and they're out there fighting one another, and devouring one another. You don't believe that?
No, I think they're just a physical phenomenon, you know.
They have their own life up there. That's for sure.
They seem to.
Yeah. Because yeah, they're doing things, you know. Comets are moving and singing.
I mean, it is a fascinating universe out there.
Yes, it is.
You know, I wish we could get closer to it.
Ooh.
And see what's going on. And it'd still be safe, I mean.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It is something to think about.
I love that stuff.
I do too, watching it, yeah. I like the fact that, you know, some people have gone farther out. Even God has talked about Pleiades and some of those planets out there, you know, and him being responsible for them being there.
You know?
And
you think there's any life out there?
Maybe not as we know it.
Yeah.
Here. I don't even know. Well, then, from my understanding, we could not exist out there. So,
no.
If there is life out there, it'd have to be some
much different.
Different form, right?
I don't think there is, because it's just too hostile out there.
No aliens out there, you know?
No. I thought that the other day when I went to Mansfield for some reason. And, on the way back, it just seemed like it was a gray, cloudy, yucky day.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like everybody was in this hostile, bad mood, you know?
Yeah.
But I finally ran into a couple of nice people that were in a good mood. But it wasn't easy.
It was kind of hard to find.
One of those days, you know.
Right. Well, we're going to finish this hour up in a couple of minutes. Thank you for joining in. Please tune in at 11:15 for our next hour. Thank you and God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you were always so kind to me, and I want to take the... I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it, Scott. You know, I always say you're the best interviewer I ever had that I do an interview with. I really like to do them.
Well, and may it continue. We're not going to stop at 10 years. We're going to go on into the next years. What do you make of his opponent?
Now you're trying to get me in trouble.
No,
you are. You're trying to get me in trouble. You're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. We can move around that. You have always been that nice to me, and boy, I'll never be able to repay it. It's just been wonderful.
Well, I tell you, you've been nice to me too. I'll tell you, as I said, you're my favorite interviewer.
Well, that is.
And I've had a lot of people interview me. In fact, you know, there's some pretty famous ones there too. So,
well, I hold that high, and it is true.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Go to the website for archived shows dating back to the beginning of 2016. Also listen to us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Thanks for listening. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays. And you can call in if you have any questions. Maybe you need something we need to pray about. But every week we have a great discussion and we look at the world through a biblical perspective. And we look forward to you listening to the show.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050.
OhioNotary.us is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Website OhioNotary.us, providing notarization services of any document anywhere in Mid and Central Ohio at homes and businesses. OhioNotary.us, a proud supporter of WWGH Radio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Marion was the largest population center in Marion County, with a total population of 38,000 residents.